And now it's long after God. You'll turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, there's a lot going on, and the Lord starts the chapter out with the temptation, and then he goes into the fall of man, and then the Lord gets into the curse, and then he gets into how they were expelled from the garden. But in chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord puts something very profound. And that is, he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. When we look at the fall, we looked at the things that developed, and we're going to get into those in just a minute. And what God did to punish the sin that took place. And in that whole mess, he gives us what my father-in-law used to call the first gospel message. When the Lord said, I will put enmity between thee, speaking to the serpent here, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Two seeds. Adam and Eve had two children. But they had more than that, but two that we're focusing on. And that is Cain and Seth. Now a lot of people say, well, Abel was supposed to have been the seed in which Jesus Christ came through, or the lineage in which he came through. But that's not true. If he was supposed to have been the lineage that Jesus came through, he would not have got killed. God would have spared him that. God takes care of us in our life. His plan is always made. Nothing ever changes the plan of God. So if anyone ever tells you that, they couldn't be more wrong. The lineage in which Jesus folks came through, and I gave all of you this paper, you will notice the lineage of the Son of God from Adam and Eve to Jesus. And it starts out with Adam, and then it goes to Seth. It may not be hard to read for some of you, but I'm reading these out. And then it goes from Seth down into Enoch, from there down into Noah, and then Shem, and then it goes down into Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and then it comes down to David, and that's where the two split off between Joseph and Mary. Jesus came through the lineage of Mary, not Joseph. Joseph had nothing to do with Jesus, except Mary married Joseph after Jesus was born. But Joseph, he's out of the picture as far as Jesus' lineage goes. In fact, he came through Solomon, he came through a whole different lineage than Jesus did. And Jesus came down through the lineage from David down to Mary. And this is the seed of the woman, I believe, that is being mentioned here. Now, notice here that God says he will put enmity. Now, if you don't understand the word enmity, we learn this a lot in the New Testament, because Paul speaks of the word enmity over in the book of Romans, where he says that lost people, carnal mind is at enmity against God. Here, Lord says, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed. In other words, there's enmity between Cain's seed and Seth's seed. Seth's seed is the good seed, Cain's seed is not. Now, if you go back into Genesis chapter 6, you will learn, and if you're going to go that far back, going back 5, you'll learn some of the descendants and some of the lineage. But going back to 6, you will find that Seth's seed was up on the mountain, and they came down, and they found these women of Cain's, the Canaanite women, as attractive. One of man's biggest downfall is looking at women. Because men, by nature, find women attractive, do we not? And they went down, and they found these women attractive, and next thing you know, they married, they mixed, they mingled, which the Lord tells us not to do. And he didn't tell them, but he tells us not to do such things. But we should learn from them, shouldn't we? And next thing you know, every thought of their hearts was evil continued. When you play with fire, when you tempt the Lord thy God, when you do what he tells you not to do, when he separates you and you come back down, it's amazing to me, it's the amount of born-again Christians that the Lord separates from the world and they go back into the world, right? And next thing you know, they're into things they shouldn't be into. There's a reason for that. The world is at enmity with God. Think of the world, think of the lost people as the seed of Cain. There is a God, and through sin, allowed an enmity, a hatred, to be between Canaanites and Seth-anites, or the two lineages. This world is at enmity with God. We were never at enmity with God. I don't believe that. I believe as lost people, while we may have been in this world, we were never at enmity with God because God loved us. And when God loves you, you cannot be an enemy of God. God elected us for the foundation of the world and holds us in time to be here. You may not have loved God with all your heart, but to be an enmity with God is a hatred. The word literally means a hatred. So the Lord told the serpent that he would put hatred between his seed, that is the serpent's seed and Cain, and the world, and God, and the woman's seed, which would be the lineage of Jesus and Christians through time. So after the fall of man, we're going back to Genesis, if you're there, just stay there. We're going back to after the fall of man, that is, Eve being deceived by Satan and eating the fruit. He says in verse 5 and 6 of Genesis 3, "For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You see what just happened? God told them not to eat of the fruit, right? But Eve, taking pride upon herself, taking her human desires, the eagerness of her own nature, disobeyed God. And she saw that the fruit was good. It's just like the Samsonites when they came down out of the mountain, went down into the valleys, I guess, and saw the women of Cain and found them desirable. So what happened? They took them, right? We find Israel when the watchmen go to sleep, and they're not, that means they're sleeping on the job of what pastors should be doing as watchmen of the church. They were watchmen over Israel, and they went to sleep, basically, as a lot of pastors do in churches. And next thing you know, the Israelites are divorcing the Israel women, the Jewish women, and going out and getting Gentile women to marry them. See, when you go against what God says, nothing good is ever going to come of it. God told them not to eat of the fruit, and they did. A blatant disobedience to God started with the woman, the weaker vessel. I'm sorry, ladies. Just repeating God, don't blame me, don't cut my head off. The weaker vessel, and that's how she got Adam to eat of the fruit. Or how Satan got it. So Satan is a liar and deceiver. And he's subtle. He comes in as an angel of light, the Lord says, doesn't he? And all he does is deceive. Go to John chapter 8, if you will. So, Satan's a liar, he's a deceiver, he brings nothing but sin, lies, deceit, destruction, and death. God said of Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44, "For you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's a detailed summary of Satan. That is a detailed summary of Canaanites. That's a detailed summary of this world. And the elect of God, us Christians, were involved in that at one time. Because the Lord told us, at one time, this is what you were as lost people. Now go to Matthew chapter 6. If a believer listens to Satan, a believer listens to this world, you will sin every time. Because when you start listening to any other than God, it is Satan. There's two lines of thinking in this world. Satan and God. Satan's seed, God's seed. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, listen to this verse closely. "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." Now, what exactly is mammon? Have you ever studied that word? Look it up. Mammon is neither Hebrew nor Greek. So if you try to look it up in your equivalent, you're probably not going to find it, because it is the third language of Scripture, and that is Chaldean. It is a word of Chaldean origin. And it means something or someone that is defied. The word "fied" means to worship someone or something as a god. Now go to 2 Corinthians 4. Satan is a god to this world. So you have two gods, two sources, two lineages. You have Satan and you have God. You have the world, and you have Christianity. You have good, you have bad. If you get from God and water into the world, or anything in the world that's worldly, it's Satan. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest that not the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now, what's it say exactly? It says that Satan is the god of this world, right? What else does it say? That Satan, the god of this world, blinded the minds of them that believe not. not, last means that not, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, they're never going to see the gospel because they're blinded. They're actually spiritually dead. They can neither see nor hear the word of God. They cannot hear it. They cannot understand it. They cannot make decisions. They cannot make choices. They cannot turn over new leaves. They cannot pray to be saved. And they do nothing to please God. That's the world, folks. This world is Satan. We're just pilgrims passing through. And as Christians, we have to stay at the course and not be like Eve and start wondering, oh, that looks so good. Well, yes, a lot of sin to us, even to us as Christians, sometimes looks like fun. I mean, I'm a Cowboy fan. Don't get me wrong. I love the Cowboys. I love the Texas Rangers. I love the Texas Rangers. I am a Texas boy through and through. If I ever have to leave Texas to another state, live in another state, I'll be disappointed. And there ain't nothing I love to do than go all into Texas and go to either a Cowboy or Ranger game. If I could, I'd love for them both to play the same day so I can make both games. I mean, the church comes first. The Lord comes first, doesn't it?
Amen.
Even watching them on TV, the Lord comes first, church comes first. See, things get to be desirable, something you want to do, but you cannot allow it to substitute for what you're supposed to be doing, and cannot, because what is sports? It's the world of stuff, isn't it? It's not godly. There's nothing godly about football or baseball or soccer or any other sport. Just like most things you do in the world, there's nothing but worldly. I'm not saying you can't do anything worldly, but you got to really be careful. You got to choose your friends. You know what gets Christians into the worst parts of the Lord? Is choosing their friends, the wrong friends. Next thing you know, you're missing church. Next thing you know, you're out telling dirty jokes. Next thing you know, you're drinking a beer or a glass of wine. Next thing you know, you're smoking a little weed. Next thing you know, you're smoking a little meth. Next thing you know, you could care less about church. I ain't saying it all gets that bad, but that's where the world will lead you. And next thing you know, you'll be defending abortion, you'll be defending transgenderism, you'll be defending all this other stuff, because that's what you have to do to love the world. See what I'm talking about? A lot of churches have made this mistake because they worry too much about people in church. Numbers. We're number oriented. I mean, I'm the better pastor. I got 45 people. How many you got? Well, we got 15. Oh, well, maybe the Lord will deal with y'all soon and get you some more. That's not what I want to hear from pastors. And you're not going to find a Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of any teaching that has 45 people in it, unless you have a lot of kids. You understand? Or you're having a big old Bible conference. That's the only time we ever get 45, a big old Bible conference going on. But anyway, getting away from what I meant. The Lord says you cannot serve two masters. So mammon are serving the world, or Satan, is serving a separate God. Either you're going to serve Jehovah, or you're going to serve Mammon. Now, Mammon covers all the other religions. It covers a lot of what calls themselves Christian religions. I'm not going to name them. Every time I name them, I make somebody mad. I don't care, but I'm just tired of everybody getting mad at me all the time. I've got to the point that I can't get 3 likes on Facebook. Not bother. No, it really ain't. I don't care about anything. You post up and people read it. You know, then they get mad at you. That's a good thing, ain't it? Not that they get mad at you, but at least they read it. But anyway, you cannot serve God and the world. You cannot serve God and the world. You cannot serve two cities. Why? Because if you go back to Matthew 6:24, the Lord says, you will either hate, that's that enmity, isn't it? The one. So if you're a Christian, you hate sin, don't you? You hate Satan, don't you? You hate the world, don't you? I do. I despise the world. It makes me sick. And love the other. I do. I love the Lord. I love everything church. My wife can't understand sometimes. She didn't grow up as I did in the ministry and Christianity as I did. And she don't sometimes understand how important church is to me, how much important that the Lord is to me, how much important the pastorship is to me, how much important it is for me to sit down and build these bulletins and to build these messages. And I'm not going to retire. I don't want to retire. I don't want to move. I don't want to move. I don't want to do anything. I'm not saying she's trying to do that. Don't get me wrong. I want you mad at life. But sometimes people that are not with us for years and years and years don't get everything. That's where we're coming from. We serve the Lord our God. No distractions. None. Not getting into the world. You cannot count the fights. In the last 2 years, I had a Tri-State Iron Medal. For 15 years, I never had a problem, except for a couple times when I broke down, of making church on Wednesday night. And all of a sudden, I'm being told by the same management who's changed everything, well, church shouldn't be so important. Your job is important. No, my job is not important. As you see, I don't have a job anymore. Now, back to the word man, or Satan, and his world system. Both are Satan's or mammon. And we are not to serve in either manner. We're not to serve the world. We're not to serve Satan in any manner. These are the enmity that he's talking about in Genesis 3:15. To do so is to despise or to hate God. That's where it will lead you. You've got friends that are sitting there telling you this election stuff you believe in just isn't good. Next thing you know, you're going to be lying on it. This stuff, that God saves it. You can't go there and say that God, it will just lead you away little by little by little, just like it did Eve. Satan told Eve these things, and Eve repeated them. So what did she do? She served Satan, didn't she? And what happened? She despised God, didn't she? She did. She despised God. God went as far as to warn us that serving Satan in any form is anti-God. Adam and Eve surrendered to Satan. Therefore, God not only punished Satan, but God also punished Eve, who was deceived, and Adam, who chose to defile God because his wife had eaten the forbidden fruit. I mean, I love his love for his wife. I love his dedication to his wife, but you do not disobey God. He did, and look what happened. So, let's go back to Genesis, if you will, and I'm going to run through this in the next 15 minutes. Most of this was in my introduction. I went further than I should have, but that's okay. So, let's look at God's punishment. Adam and Eve, in verse 16 of Genesis 3, he says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. This is because of what Eve did. This was God's punishment to Eve for what she did. Now, let's go to Adam. Adam is most important, and I'll get to that in a minute. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, and to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. So it wasn't just that Adam went to eat. Adam had hearkened unto the voice of his wife. Honey, I did it. I know evil from good. Don't you want to see? Don't you want to be like God? She took what Satan tempted her with and tempted her husband with it. And he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. He cursed the ground of the Garden of Eden because of what they did. And in sorrow thou shalt eat all the days of thy life, thorns also and thistles shall thou bring forth unto thee, to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. Thou shalt not return unto the ground, for out of it that was thou taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. That's a big punishment, isn't it? That's a big punishment, isn't it? Now go down to verse 24. And it says, so he drove the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and flaming swords, which turned every way, to keep the way of the tree of life. Kept them out. They couldn't go back. They were expelled from the utopia that God had made for them. God warned it. God took it. All he had to do was to till the ground. The Lord can't imagine this. All he had to do was to till and take care of God's creation. God warned it with the dew. God gave him everything he needed. God supplied all of his needs. God gives him everything in a utopia. And this is how them two thank God. Every time a Christian goes against God and takes on with Satan's world, thumbs his nose at God. That's what we do when we go into the world and take on the world. As we thumb our nose at God. You say, no, people tell me, all the Christians get on to me, they get mad at me. No, you're seeing it wrong. No, I'm not seeing it wrong. You're seeing it wrong. You cannot serve God and mammon. God says to go to church. If you're not going to church, you are disobedient. If you do not read your Bible, you are disobedient. If you do not study God's Word, you're disobedient. If you do not make God first in your life of everything you do, you're disobedient. If you are not looking to God for everything in your life to be accomplished, you're disobedient. You can like me or hate me, I can care less. I'm just telling you what God says. You cannot serve two masters. A lot of people's out of church today because they are serving two masters. And they are despising God. After God so graciously gave them what he did. Just as he was gracious unto Adam and Eve, to dwell all their needs, he does us the same. Go to Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, we are both promised physical death and spiritual death because of Adam. See, Eve sinned, but Adam is the one that we get our bloodline through. Adam is where the lineage comes. Notice in chapter 5, Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, not because of Eve, not because of one woman's sin, but one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, both physical and spiritual death, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. But Revelation 20. Because of what Adam done in the garden, Satan went to Eve. Satan convinced Eve because she's a weaker vessel. Eve went to Adam because Adam loved his wife and would do anything for her, I'm sure. Most good husbands will. They'll do anything for their wife, to help them and to accomplish them, whatever we can do. Our wives have a great deal of power over us, and she did too. And that, honey, please do this for me. Okay, baby. Okay, I got you. Okay. That's the way it works sometimes. And I'm sure that, you know, she talked to him and convinced him with the words of Satan and called to me. But he chose to eat, did he not? He did it, didn't he? And with it, he brought death unto all of us. So Satan was a sinner from heaven. He was created for evil. That's why God created him. And Satan did not just fall. Satan was created to fall. Satan fell because God created him to be who he was. And God promised that he would be put in the hardest part of hell. God punishes us for what we do. Oh, God doesn't punish Christians. God does. He reproves us and rebukes us. He chastises us. He don't hate us. He's not going to have wrath against us. We've been saved from wrath, haven't we? But he does punish us for things we do in his life. He says in verse 10 of Revelation 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's where he's going to finally wind up. That's going to be his punishment. Human punishment is also going to be the lake of fire. Unless you're saved. Unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, this is the necessity for the Savior, and that's where we're going. That's the name of this series. That's where we're going. And we're getting out quickly. We're just going to take a little trip when we get there. That is the necessity for the Savior. Is to save us from the wrath of God. The anger of God. God hates this world. God hates Satan. God hates the non-elect. They will all go to hell. Every single voluntary one. Romans chapter 5, if you will. Jesus Christ was ordained for what purpose? Well, back in Genesis 3:15, he said that her seed will crush his head, didn't he? See, God turned Satan into a serpent. Now, to me, a serpent is a snake. And there's not another creature on earth I hate worse than a snake. I don't care if a snake is venomous or non-venomous. I'm not going to hold it up to my face and ask this snake, are you venomous or non-venomous? I'm going to take a shovel or a hoe, I'm going to whack its head off. And I'm going to crush its head. And that's the reason God said the seed of the woman would crush the head of the snake. Because that's how you kill a snake. You cut it in half and it can still bite you. You have to cut the head off, and you'll notice it's still doing this little trying to get you deal. You got to crush the head too. It'll eventually die, but why give it a chance? I don't take chances with dead animals. I'm not going to go to a park and find out if there's good bears or bad bears. If there's good lions or bad lions. I'm not going to go to a zoo and hop into a lion's cage and say, are you friendly? I don't play with danger, and I'm not going to play with Satan. And neither should any creature. He is a serpent. People can love them. They can pet them. They can let them wrap around them and squeeze them till they're dead. That's their problem. Keep it away from me or it will die. So, Jesus Christ, the first Adam, brought us sin. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 18. He says, therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by righteousness of one, the free gift came unto all men who justified for life. Whereas by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin aboundeth, grace did abound much more. Thank you, Lord. Sin, when it reigned unto death, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make sure I read that right. By our Lord Jesus Christ is how life might reign. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I got about 3 minutes. Sinners are saved from the crushing defeat of Satan. Yes. Yes. Satan did defeat this world. He did not defeat God. The crucifixion was not a defeat. It was a victory. It was a victory because of that crucifixion that God ordained, that God sent Jesus to do, was to bring victory to God and victory to us. So he said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56 and 57, I read this at a lot of funerals, but I'm going to read it this morning. The sting of death is sin. It is. The sting of death is sin. But the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, thank you, Lord. If you haven't thanked the Lord lately, thank the Lord. Because it is He who brought the victory to you. It is He that caused you to have victory from sin. Have victory over Satan. Have victory over doing sin. You know, it is not incumbent upon Christians to sin. We do not sin just because we're sinners. We sin because we enjoy sin. The old man enjoyed it. He even enjoyed what she did. Adam enjoyed what he did. Satan enjoyed what he did. And sinners enjoy what they do. Thank God we have the power to overcome sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, beloved, is exactly where Christians need to be. Because we have victory in Jesus Christ. I hope you're saved this morning. If not, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can bring you the victory. He's the only one that can change your entire life. Let's all stand when Brother Justin comes. He's going to lead us number 212. The number 212.